Our first presenter has traveled all the way from Boston. His name is David Boyce. He's going to give a presentation called Shared Bikes, an Exciting New Concept in Public Transportation. David is with Veolia Transportation, a mass transit service provider with a bike share system, which is called VeloWave. David is a North American Director of Business Development for VeloWave. They've had a system in operation in London since 2004, and in the process of installing their first system in the United States at St. Xavier University in Chicago. Please join me in welcoming David Boyce.
We got Obama on a bike there. You might notice that the back wheel is flat. And if you take a look, it's a little bit blurry, but you can see that he looks completely terrified. After this was printed in all the papers, the suggestion was that this was a stage publicity stunt and that he's not really a rider. So his staff put out word that no, he is a committed cyclist and put out a picture of the last time that he rode, which I have here. Sarah Palin. She's also been seen riding. A picture here of her on an Alaskan bicycle. That's with her daughter. She's probably riding to Russia or something. Just a little aside now. I mean, just give me a minute. I'll go back to the PowerPoint. Share bikes, an exciting new concept of transportation. I think there's usually some confusion that was probably taken care of by the movie, but with some people, particularly non-cyclists, not like most of you, about what bike sharing actually is. So I will tell you, first of all, what it is not. It is not two people sharing a bike, like in this photo. You know, these people actually have done a couple of things wrong. They're not wearing helmets, and she's also riding side saddle. And it's also not sharing your bike with your cargo, or having your cargo share the bike with you. What it is low-cost, short-term, and inexpensive urban transit. We're a mass transit company, so we definitely agree with the film that it is a mass transit option. It brings health benefits that other forms of mass transit don't, but that's primarily its function, at least in my company. In that picture there, let's go back. That's a picture of one of our bikes. We have a system in place, as mentioned before, in London. There's a couple hundred bikes there. They've been there since 2004. That's one parked at a locking station outside one of the tube stops in Hammersmith and Fulham. If you note here, you can see the locking cable that goes, the gray cable, more on that lately. That's how we attach our bikes to the locking system. There's some benefits of that that I'll go over later. Bike sharing is important because this is a picture of Los Angeles on a sunny day, and you can see it's pretty much obscured by smog. And the reason for that is too many cars on the road, as we know, and we think that bike sharing can reduce the amount of cars on the road. There's some interesting statistics that I saw. One of them, at least in America, I don't have any for Canada, but that 40% of all trips taken in metro areas are 2 miles or less. 89% of those are taken by use an automobile, and 0.9% are on a bike. So there's certainly a lot of room for bikes to increase their market share of journey. It's another public transit option. That's what we do, that's our sole business, and we see ways to integrate it into public service at public transit and make public transit usage levels go up because it can take people right to where they want to go. Projects a positive self-image for cities. Studies have shown in Paris and the other European cities that both visitors and residents appreciate the image that bike sharing gives to a city. And there's also a positive health benefit. There's lots of obesity concerns, and as I said before, cycling is an exercise alternative. And you know, some people, one report that I read was that only 3 hours of cycling per week can reduce the incidence of heart attack and stroke by 50%. So how our system works looks similar to the French system, pods placed in various places around the city. Ours started out as a cell phone-based system. Our current generation uses either a smart card or a cell phone or a transit card. With a cell phone, you just call a number on the call the number of the kiosk that you want the bike from. And then you just hang up and it sends a text message back to you and gives you a code that you punch into a system, you take the bike. When you plug the lock back in, when you're finished, it knows that the rental period is over and you walk away. So, nothing really on this one, ride it to where you want to go. Drop them off at any station in the city. The picture here is our latest generation system. On the top there, it can be solar powered. Otherwise, our system runs standard on battery power, which is an advantage in cities because there's less infrastructure work that has to be done by city crews or by the vendor. So our batteries last 2 or 3 months at a time. When the technicians come by to service the bicycles and reposition them, they just swap the batteries out when needed. Okay, there's four keys to success, we feel, to a successful bike share system. There's a key in this picture, but there's no key in the system. Everything is keyless. This is our latest generation bike. Just go over a couple of points about it. The biggest one being that it's a shaft drive. It's difficult to see there, but the bottom bracket is hooked up directly to a Shimano 3-speed internal gear at the back. Shaft drive has a lot of advantages. It's cleaner, makes it so that riders' clothes can't be torn or get dirty. I think the main option is that it is it's more durable and requires less maintenance than a chain. Chain-based systems in Europe, I've heard reports of the system in Paris having some problems with this and seen it firsthand, is that the chains come off even when it's fixed gearing and there's no derailleur. So by using shaft drive, our bikes stay on the streets longer and their availability is better. Lights are in the front and the rear, powered by a generator that's in the front wheel. We use a hub brake on our bikes. It's a little bit heavier than what you guys probably use on your bikes, but the advantage of these hub brakes is that they work well in wet weather. Everybody knows that caliper-style brakes don't work very well. Frame has a very low step-over height and an adjustable seat, like you saw in the film. And then finally at the end, difficult to see, but right at the lower left of the circle there, you can see that's a receiving end for the same cable lock that is in the basket there. So when you have gone for a ride and you want to stop someplace, but you don't want to take the bike back, you plug it right back into that receptacle and punch in the same 4-digit code that you were given to take the bike out. So it's a pretty secure system. We like the cable because it doesn't have any attachment point that's rigid with the kiosk. Other systems might have a lock, might have a post that comes out right here, so there's lots of potential for vandalism. Our bikes used to be that way in London, but we found out the hard way that people come up with a crowbar and just start beating on them, whereas this bike has no fixed leverage point, so it's a lot harder to vandalize. That being said, I know that bike theft has been a bit of an issue in Toronto lately. We heard about that down south, so this is our initial design prototype for Toronto. But then we heard that the problem's been solved, so we went back to the bike that I showed you in the first screen. The third key of a successful system is having bikes where the reallocation and rebalancing of the system. We use a fleet of smart cars that are LNG powered in London. The advantage of them is that they can get around and park just about anywhere to get at the bikes. They're working on a trailer setup so that it can carry more bicycles. Ours is a web-based system, so you can use a website or you can use a PDA if you prefer to find out availability of both bicycles at kiosks and at empty docking stations. There is also the capability, if the system administrators want to provide reservations. We see that as a way to up usage and also increase the usage fees so to help offset the costs, because you would probably pay immediately from the reservation point rather than getting the first 30 or 60 minutes for free. Finally, the stations. Our stations are very modular, and that's pretty much because of the battery power that I mentioned earlier. So in Toronto, for example, if you decided that you didn't want the system out for the 3 winter months, it's pretty easy to just come by, unbolt them, and take them away. This is a picture that I shot last month in New York, where it's kind of an experimental pedestrian area that they put in. You can see the bike path on the right there, and they call it a pedestrian island. That's Broadway on the other side, and they just kind of pebbled that area, put some tables and planters out there. So I looked at that and said, well, you could probably put a bike stand out there, and that could be a good access point for bicycles. If it didn't work for some reason, it was getting in the way or it wasn't a good place, you can take it away and put it someplace else where demand warrants. So a little bit about our company. We're transportation management all around the world. Some statistics about that. Most of you probably know the Viva system. That is run by Veolia Transportation as well in the York region. And finally, and I think just looking around today, that Toronto seems like it would be an ideal place for a bike share program. You may not think you have the most developed infrastructure for bikes around, but believe me, I live in the city that has won, I think, 2 years running the least bicycle-friendly city in America. So if you want to see what a lack of bike infrastructure looks like, come on down there. But we're working hard on it, and it's nice to see that cities that have a lot of similarities to Boston, like Toronto, have a big head start on this.